Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
I'm Crispin Mwakideu in Bonn, Germany. Good morning and welcome to the program. Coming up in today's edition of Africa Link, Kenya celebrates its victory at the IAAF World Championships, which ended in Beijing.
What I can say, they have really tried, but I'm very sure that they can do more.
Let the future Olympics have three of African countries at the top.
Boko Haram militants kill at least 80 people over the weekend, but Nigeria's defense spokesperson insists they are turning the tables.
I believe very soon we'll eliminate them, we'll ensure that this issue of insurgence has come to an end, and people will go about their normal businesses, and the people will live in peace.
And tomorrow marks the opening day of the trial of Congolese warlord Bosco Ntaganda at the ICC. We look at how the conflict in eastern DRC is affecting former child soldiers. Stay tuned to these stories, plus how one man born with albinism is spreading a message of tolerance in Tanzania.
Top story.
Gold, 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 seven times. That's the number of medals Kenyan athletes bagged at the just-concluded IAAF Championships in Beijing. The victory, which ensured Kenya finished top of the medal rankings, has thrown the East African nation into a celebratory mood. That despite the fact that two athletes had been suspended from the competition for testing positive to banned substances. From Nairobi, James Chimanyula reports.
Kenya's rare harvest of 16 medals at the IAAF Championships in Beijing, China, has ignited strong feelings of patriotism and excitement in the country. The victory prompted President Uhuru Kenyatta and his deputy William Ruto to send congratulatory tweets in honor of the athletes. Stephen Mwaniki, one of Kenya's sports and hurdles coaches, attributes Kenya's victory in China to a major program featuring tough athletics training.
We have a program for junior athletes and also the senior athletes. And all of them, they go through the cross-country season, which starts in October. So all year round, the athletes have always been very busy to build up towards major championships.
Mwaniki says Kenya could have won more medals if it gave serious consideration to training sprinters as much as it does long-distance runners.
We don't have the facilities required for training the 100 meters and 200 meters. We have very few coaches who are involved in sprints, and that is where we start our grassroots level of training the athletes.
Elizabeth Keitanyi, executive member of the Kenya Athletics Association, pours praise on the Kenyan team but wants athletes to start training hard to excel in sprints that saw Jamaica sweep medals at the IAAF Championships.
To me, they did well in all the events. Okay, sprints, I think we have to work on that, actually to train our athletes well in the sprints, because we have the sprints in Kenya.
The issue of Kenyans training hard in sprints to win medals was also highlighted by Samson Katano, another athletics coach who thinks time has now come for Kenya to produce sprinters.
Maybe the time had not yet come, but it is now our time. This is the time that we should change, and I know we are going to change.
In a rare gesture, Kenya's athletic team received praise from 25-year-old Boaz Palasi, one of the country's admired musicians.
I'm happy that Kenya has done Africa proud, but the pride should be maintained because Africa has never conquered victory at Olympics. Let the future Olympics have three of African countries at the top. Let us beat Europe, Asia, and other continents. It looks like 2015 was the year for Africa.
Kevin Mwandawiro, a 36-year-old Nairobi teacher, salutes the Kenyan team for its exemplary performance, but thinks that there is room for it to do even better.
What I can say, they have really tried, but I'm very sure that they can do more. What I can tell them is to just continue with the good work and always do the right thing at the right time.
And that report was compiled by James Chimanyula in Nairobi. The doping allegations by Kenyan athletes are nothing new, according to the chairman of the Kenya Athletics Association, Isaiah Kiplagat. In an exclusive interview with our correspondent James Chimanyula, Kiplagat attributes the good performance to nurturing young talent. He begins by saying he is confident of better results in future athletics competitions.
Having seen the performance of athletes in Beijing and being on top of the world, I don't think there's any other time that we expect them to do, not to continue doing better. Now that we're expanding our horizons in terms of preparing the athletes or tapping the talent, make sure that the sports ministers who are there go out there and become part of the looking for the talent. And as you see now, we're diverting from the middle and long distance and going to other areas that we have not done before. Most of our young athletes are now doing very well in other areas, in hurdles, in javelin, in long jump, and things like that. So I think that the future of Kenya is great. And what we need on it is to conquer the Olympics.
Looking at the days of Esther Kavaya, you remember the lady who used to run sprints. We have Nigeria, you know, that Ghana. Why, Mr. Kiplagat, can't you nurse our athletes?
I think, first of all, you know, there are certain events which are very difficult to nurture in the country. The sprints is one of them. Particularly, the sprinters don't just require running on the grass or that, you know, on the road, like the middle and long distance runners. They require more than that. They require to have a gym, they require to have a swimming pool, they require to have all other equipment. It's not like those days when people could run and they win 100 meters. Now you have to go scientific. And being that, you must have a lot of investment. And that's why we are asking the government of Kenya that the facilities, and we're glad that the Jubilee government said they are going to put up 5 stadiums every year. And they were looking forward to that. They said they're going to start with 3. Once that would happen, then we'll need other facilities within the stadium, the swimming pools and so forth, and the gyms and so forth. Once we do that, I can assure you, if you look at the current situation, most of our athletes are now taking on sprints. And I'm sure that we have, in all African games, you will see our sprinters doing very well.
There is this issue of doping. They have been talking a lot of bad things against Kenya in Europe. How do you react to that?
First of all, what has come out from Europe is not true. This was exaggeration. Because when they exaggerate, we don't know why. And they always come up when we are going for a major events like the Olympics and the World Athletic Championships. But the few that we know, we have taken action. Now the government has formed what we call the Anti-Doping Agency of Kenya. We are working with that to be able to penetrate and find out how we can kill this thing.
Chairman of the Kenya Athletics Association, Isaiah Kiplagat, talking to DW correspondent James Shimanyula.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
In Nigeria, suspected Boko Haram gunmen on horseback killed nearly 80 people in separate attacks in the restive northeast at the weekend. That's according to a vigilante group and residents. The latest attack comes as the country's intelligence warned that the Islamist network is spreading throughout the country. President Buhari has given the military 3 months to end the insurgency. But how likely is that given an increase in attacks? Our correspondent in Abuja, Ben Shamang, has been telling me it is possible.
Well, it is very, very likely, Crispin, bearing in mind that you now have what they call coordinated operations. You have the synergy. And when operations are going on, the Chief of Army Staff, Lieutenant General Tukur Buratai, is in charge of ground operations. And when you talk of air cover, you have the Chief of Air Staff, Vice Marshal Sadiq Abubakar, who is also leading and firing from up there. So it is so coordinated that they believe they will always be on top of the situation at all times. They will win, so to speak. That is what they are telling Nigerians. And they are saying that they will take the orders or directives from the president that they must end this war.
Isn't that what they have always been doing since the last 5 years? Or is this like a new strategy now that they're employing?
Yes, there is a new strategy being employed on the side of state security services. They call it re-strategized counter-terrorism measure. With that, there is what you call deployment of intelligence officers here and there. And Crispin, when I spoke with the acting director of defense information, Colonel Rabi Abubakar, he actually said that the military is really on top of the situation. Things have changed, and of course, you can imagine that 10 Boko Haram members have been arrested. This is what the colonel is saying.
I believe very soon we'll eliminate them. We'll ensure that this issue of insurgents has come to an end, and people will go about the normal businesses, the economic viability in that part of the country will strive again, and the people will live in peace when they are eventually crushed.
But Ben, these reports about the arrests and that the fact that the terrorist network has spread throughout the country to as far as Lagos, what does that mean for the efforts to end Boko Haram's insurgency? I mean, previously it was just in the north part of the country.
Yes, the implication is that these people are under pressure, and that's why they have so dispersed. And of course, members of their various units are now revealing to the authorities where some of their top commanders are, and that's why they are being traced using their boys to where they are hiding, and that's why they are catching them one by one.
And what do Nigerians think about how the president has been handling the Boko Haram issue so far?
Well, since President Muhammadu Buhari made it a campaign tool that once voted into power, he would ensure that Boko Haram ends, here we are, as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of Nigeria, he has so commanded the soldiers to ensure that Boko Haram is routed. The Nigerians believe in him. Today, up to now, he has no ministers, yet people believe in what he's doing. Simply sitting down, his words alone are enough to fight corruption.
DW correspondent in Abuja, Ben Shemang. And you're listening to Africa Link from Bonn, Germany.
Africa on the move.
This week's Africa on the Move takes us to Tanzania. As the October 25th presidential election nears, rights groups have warned of the risk of a rise in attacks against albinos in Tanzania. Some politicians have been accused of buying albino body parts for witchcraft and lucky charms. Witch doctors pay up to $75,000 for a full set of albino body parts. Assumpta Latus met up with Henry Mdimu, an albino journalist in Dar es Salaam who is using his profession to change perceptions about albinism.
It's another day for Henry Mdimu and his family as they enjoy breakfast. Unlike elsewhere in Tanzania, albinism, the absence of melanin, is not an issue here at home. But elsewhere in the East African nation, albinos face the risk of being maimed or even killed. Mdimu, a journalist by profession, seeks to bring such barbaric acts to light. He says he has learned to live with his condition.
If you complicate everything in your life, you won't get anywhere. So accept things. Accept that this is what it is, and then move on.
Henry has twice managed to escape from kidnappers who would have done him harm or even killed him. But he still maintains a positive attitude. And that is what attracts his wife, Angel Mdim. She is also a journalist, and together they lead a comfortable life from their income. Angel told me they have been married for 7 years now and have 3 children. But she adds that her relationship with a person with albinism didn't go down well with family and friends.
When we started our relationship, people thought that I loved him because he has money. And now they say he has bewitched me. Such things happen. But I don't give too much thought to that.
Many people in East Africa, and especially in Tanzania, believe that albinos are ghosts. To change this perception, Henry Mdimu regularly conducts interviews with people that are published in a local newspaper and on his blog. Today, Henry takes me to Under the Same Sun, an NGO which has been fighting for the rights of albinos in Tanzania for over 10 years. It also provides a safe haven for some of the victims. Mariam Stanford is one of them. Her limbs were cut off by her attackers, an experience that still traumatizes her.
Sometimes I dream that people cut my hands. Yes, but I thank God that these kind of dreams are fewer now.
Though Mariam knows her assailants, they have never been prosecuted. Vicky Tetema, director of Under the Same Sun in Tanzania, says the government needs to do more to protect the country's vulnerable albinos.
The first conviction was in 2009. Those people were sentenced to hang. Nothing has been done. No implementation of the sentences. So somehow I have a feeling that people think, oh, you can kill and stay in jail for as long as the government wants to, and nothing can be done to you. And I think it encourages people to continue committing these crimes.
That's the reason why Henry Mdimu says he will not stop working to change people's mentality towards those with albinism.
Assumpta Latus reporting. Tomorrow, September the 2nd, is a special day for many people in eastern DRC. This is the day when the trial of former Congolese warlord Bosco Ntaganda begins at the International Criminal Court. Ntaganda is accused of war crimes and crimes against humanity. The ex-rebel leader also allegedly recruited children in his troops. Even after rehabilitation, many of the former child soldiers face a difficult time to return to their communities. This report by Stephanie Dockstein has been adapted for Africa Link by Ashutosh Pandey.
Daniel Muramba Jad was 15 years old when militants killed his mother in the Walikale region. The men kidnapped him and took him to the forest, where they tortured him.
They took me along with them and threatened me that if I did not join the army, they would kill me. For 2 weeks, I got nothing to eat. They hid me and immersed me in water. After that, I decided to become a child soldier just like the others.
For the next 3 years, Daniel fought for several militia groups. But since January, he has been living in the training center of the Congolese organization ETN, located in Goma. The center's main task is to reintegrate former combatants back into the society. As good as that may sound, Pascal Badibanga, the head of the center, says it is not always easy.
Some come directly from the forest. They are constantly looking to pick up a fight and take drugs. We need to constantly advise them. From the very beginning, we set strict rules to ensure they run to Foro Rose and others.
Supervisors of the former child soldiers do their best to support them in finding a job. But there are hardly any job opportunities in eastern DR Congo. Armed conflict, crime and corruption has discouraged companies and businessmen from investing. Many of the former child soldiers are forced to return to the community where they face an uncertain future. This is a huge concern for Lavinia Lomi, who works with the Child Protection Department of the UN Peacekeeping Mission in DRC, MONUSCO.
A big challenge would be the insecurity that these children might face, in particular the ones that return to communities that are still affected by the armed conflict. And of course, as you can imagine, they may even face the threat of being re-recruited by possibly even the same armed group.
Daniel was kidnapped by a particularly brutal rebel group. His return to the society would be more difficult due to what he had been forced to do to his fellow villagers.
These people do not care about the welfare of children. They take us by force into the forest. They should be punished as required by our law. They have destroyed our lives and our future. For example, I can no longer go back to my home, Walikale, as I have robbed people and even killed at the orders of my commander.
The recruitment of child soldiers is a serious crime under both international and Congolese laws. But in Congo, the perpetrators are rarely brought to justice. Human rights activist Pascal Badibanga Zagabe is hopeful that the trial against Bosco Ntaganda would act as a deterrent.
Without justice, the world will collapse. I believe that the process is a lesson for other militia leaders who still inflict harm here.
According to MONUSCO, more than 1,000 child soldiers were recruited in the first half of 2015. This figure equals all children abducted the whole of last year. No one exactly knows how many boys and girls have been abducted in the ongoing conflict in eastern Congo, but it is estimated there could be tens of thousands of children.
And that report was written by Stephanie Dockstein.
Making a difference.
Over 1,000 girls are sexually abused every year in Ghana. Officials there are struggling to reduce this figure and protect children. But it's the civil society groups that are really helping to make a difference. Isaac Kalechi in Accra has been finding out how one such group has been working to rescue vulnerable children. As he now reports, some of them have been abandoned by their own families.
About 100 vulnerable children, abandoned by their families, trooped to a library in one of Accra's poorest districts, Jamestown. They are able to relax and read books here after being rescued by a group called Street Children Empowerment Foundation. Among those rescued is Ikria, whose own father started abusing her when she was just 11. She's now 15.
I was raped by my father. I reported the case to my grandmom and they called him, but he denied it. And it was like I was telling lies, so none of my family members were able to help me. He started abusing me every day, and each time I report to my stepmom or any my relatives, they don't believe me.
Because the Ikria's family believed she was lying about her ordeal, she confided in one of her teachers who took up the case.
So we went to the police station and I gave out my statement. So the next day they went to arrest my dad and they asked him everything. He denies it, but they say they are going to investigate a little, so we should go back to the house. I should go and show them where he sleeps with me. So I did that, and when we got to the house, he knelt in front of us, told the police people that it's true.
Ikria's father was prosecuted and jailed for his crime. Ifua is another young girl rescued by the Street Children Empowerment Foundation. She told me how she was forced into an early marriage at the age of 8. Now 14, Ifua has also been abandoned by relations for running away from her husband.
No one came to my aid. I stayed with this man for years because of poverty. I was helpless and had to do as he commands. He does what he likes with me by having sex with me.
These are just two stories from the children being rehabilitated by this civil society group. Available statistics from the Police Domestic Violence and Victim Support Unit, DOFSU, show that a total of 1,296 girls aged 16 and below in the country were defiled, while 335 other women were raped in 2014 alone. Many of these children now require rehabilitation, and that's where the foundation, which started operations in 2010, comes in. Its founder is Paul Semi.
As an NGO, we rescue street children from the streets in various strategies. We rehabilitate them by making them understand the importance of school, why they ought to be in school, and then we reintegrate them with their families so they can live a normal life without us assisting them.
Simi says the most daunting task is to generate funding to enable the foundation to expand its rehabilitation facility to take in more children.
We have several sexual abuse cases here, and as an organization, we believe that if we work in a community like this, we need to set examples for people to know that it's against the law to sleep with a child. We do education component as well. We advocate in the community through our paralegals.
SEMES group fights for the rights of all children, whatever their gender, race, origin, or religion.
That was a report by DW correspondent Isaac Kalechi in Accra. And before we leave you, here's a reminder of our main stories. Kenyans have applauded their athletics team for finishing top at the IAAF Championships, which ended in Beijing. Boko Haram has killed scores of people in separate attacks in the northeast amidst assurances by the army that it's winning the war. And residents of Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo are gearing up for the trial of former Congolese warlord Bosco Ntaganda at the ICC. And that's all we had for you in this edition of Africa Link. To send us your comments and suggestions on the program, either by text message to country code 49160957595510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. From me, Crispin Makideu, have a good day.